Silence.
Oppenheimer.
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Play Radio.
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 241 of Nerd Pride Radio. 241. In 1995, 16-year-old Bobby Bostick robbed people delivering Christmas presents at gunpoint. He shot and injured a man in the process and stole a car. All right, 2 years later, in 1997... Bostick was convicted of those crimes and sentenced to 241 years in prison. Now, in 2010, the Supreme Court ruled that the Constitution prohibits the imposition of a life without parole sentence on a juvenile offender who did not commit homicide. Bobby Bostick did not commit homicide. So his sentencing was thus appealed, because he's not eligible for parole until he is 112, effectively making this a sentence of life without the possibility of parole for a teenage offender. Now, earlier this year, the U.S. Supreme Court finally heard that case and upheld the sentencing and said 241 years for a 16-year-old who didn't kill anyone is perfectly acceptable in this country. So, with any luck and a dash of good behavior, Bobby Bostick might be out as early as 2091. Good luck, Bobby. Rooting for you. So, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me. Well, thank you, Noah. I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd. Plus, there's like seven other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to habron about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. Oh, my co-host this week, well, sadly, no one. It was going to be Bobby Bostick, but apparently he's busy for a while. Oh, all right.
And I thought it was Invisible Joe who's sitting in that invisible chair.
No, Invisible Joe is always here. He just doesn't contribute much. And I feel like, you know, because my dry sense of humor, I normally would just leave the whole statement of Bobby Bostwick, just leaving it as it was, to let you guys assume from what you know of me that I would be outraged that anyone would think that a 241-year-old 240-year sentence for a 16-year-old was appropriate, because that's how I feel. I think this is outrageous. I can't believe in our country that this is cool with us, that we're willing to try teenagers as adults in the first place is so, it's so awful a lot of times. But boy, this is just egregious. This is just terrible. So anyway, before anything else though, that's right. It's time for yet another installment in our all too frequent segment, Mike was wrong! Alright, well actually, Mike was wrong and Mike was right here, because last time I recorded, I was talking about Crazy Rich Asians and how much I enjoyed the film. I wasn't wrong about that part. But I did mention that I was a little disappointed that it didn't make as much money as I wanted, because I had called it for like 27 in our guess the weekend box office pool. Or 26, or whatever it was I called it at, and it wasn't quite going to make that. Turns out I was wrong. It made it exactly. I nailed it. It was a great week. I'm actually in contention to win this season, so I feel really good about that, and I'm just bragging. Turns out it did great, because I did call it right, and then I called it wrong on the podcast. Weird. Also related to Crazy Rich Asians, I was also wrong, because when I was talking about Ronnie Chang, who is a Daily Show correspondent and comedian and all-around pretty funny dude. I mentioned him as an Australian comedian, which is not true. He was actually born in Malaysia, and he wound up graduating school in Australia, and he started his career there and spent like 10 or 12 years in Australia before coming to the U.S. or whatever. Anyway, he spent a lot of time there, but he's not actually Australian. He's Malaysian. So I was close. I mean, not really, but, you know, I had reasons for it. There you go. As long as I'm on the topic, since for the last couple of weeks I've been a little obsessed with Crazy Rich Asians, I just really like this movie. I read a bunch of reviews for it, because I was wondering what other people think about it, and especially, I always, with a movie that I really like, I'm always interested in what the negative opinions are, the people that really hated it. What did they think was wrong with it? So, and no, Noah, not just so I can tell them how wrong they are. No, I'm just interested in what other people think. And so therefore, with Crazy Rich Asians, I was interested in a couple of places where people were, some people just called it out as being, you know, rather weak and bland as a romantic comedy, and okay, whatever, if that's your opinion, that's fine. But some of them called it out as being racist. That it plays on, in some places, plays on certain Asian stereotypes that, it's a little bit, it feels a little bit racist, and a little uncomfortable to be laughing at certain of these stereotypes. I didn't see that myself. I mean, I understand what they're talking about, but I didn't feel like it was racist. I felt like, then there was another reviewer who kind of summed it up for me when she pointed out that she had heard certain things like that, and this was an Asian reviewer, for what it's worth, and she was a little concerned, and she was ready to find cringeworthy stuff in here, and in the end she said, no, it's not really that, yeah, there's, okay, so this one guy plays off on this really crude stereotype of this overly rich Asian type of machismo, and she says, yeah, but if it was just him, if he was the only Asian character in the movie, well then, sure, okay, yeah, that would be really racist, but he's not. Because right next to him is, you know, 100 other Asian characters who represent this huge broad spectrum, and some of them do encapsulate some of these characteristics that others view as stereotypical, but they're not, that doesn't define Asianness in this movie. Because everybody's Asian. I mean, the good guys, the bad guys, the comic relief, the everybody. And therefore, reading those words, I'm like, yeah, that's kind of how I was feeling about it. And it reminded me of my review initially of Orange is the New Black, where it was just so interesting to have an entirely female cast for Orange is the New Black, so that you get these particular roles of, you know, whether it's good guys, bad guys, comic relief, you get these roles that normally, stereotypically, you only see these roles given to men. And now, because it's an all-female cast, they get to play these same kind of oddball, extreme sort of roles. And it's just interesting. I just find it fascinating. And so, I don't have a point. I just really like Crazy Rich Asians. There you go. Let's see. Also, before I move on, should I do updates? Yeah, I'll do updates. updates. There we go. There's the voice. Almost. I had been talking about scholarships for playing video games. Just the idea that, you know, people were making fun of the idea that parents would get coaches, video game coaches, Fortnite coaches was the specific example, for their kids. That, oh my god, who's going to get coaches for their kids for video games? But the whole point is that there's money. There's money on the line here. There's scholarship money. There's prize money. And once money's involved, then okay, yeah, we'll do whatever we can to get our kids an advantage if that means it's going to get us the cash. Turns out that Jacob, my son, he's working his new job, and he came back to me and said, oh my god, you're not going to believe the conversation I overheard between a couple of middle-aged guys that work around him who have college-age kids, and were trying, one of them is trying to explain the whole concept of getting scholarships for video games, e-games, and that his own kid got a scholarship and that he, you know, plays in tournaments and he got a scholarship for this and he's going to be basically playing on the college's video game, whichever game it is, whether it's, I have no idea. I have no idea. I should have asked Jacob, or he probably told me and I just forgot. Whatever game it is, he's playing on the school's team. He's on their team for that game, and thus he's getting a scholarship. And Jacob just said it was just hysterical to listen to this father who wants to be really proud of his kid, is really proud of his kid for this accomplishment, and yet you can tell he just doesn't quite grasp how and why such a thing is even occurring, because it's video games. I mean, you know, he goes by a different name because he uses his, you know, some special name when he's online, and I don't understand. It's like, oh God, just basic concepts of how online gaming works at all just were completely beyond this dude, which Jacob found super funny, but also was able to contribute back to me that, oh yeah, not only do people get scholarships for this stuff and play in leagues, but yeah, he's got first-hand experience with at least one dad whose kid is in that situation. I thought that was very interesting. So there you go. All right, now it's time for the not-so-meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever has been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy week or two, I add it to my master list. The very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. And in this particular case, I've just taken the first five or six items off of my master list and just pasted them directly in here without categorizing them. So therefore,
fingertips.
That's right, it's going to be a fingertips episode. This is all just stuff that I was too lazy to flesh out into fully developed segments, but, you know, I'll just pick them off the list one at a time and discuss them here, and that way I can say I've done it and cross them all off. It'll work out perfectly. All right. First up, we were just at the State Fair yesterday, which, by the way, was a lot of fun. We had a good time. We ate fair food and rode some carnival rides and got to see some shows and some different things. And anyway, among the stuff that we saw at the Nebraska State Fair was we were walking through whatever they call the vendor hall. And in the vendor hall, there is a person. It was a guy the first time we went through and then a woman the second time. But a person selling Freestream TV boxes. And it had a corner booth, and so they're able to, you know, they've got the big TV thing behind them, they had double-sized space, so they had lots of room, and they're selling these Freestream TV boxes to passersby, and I think they were charging like a couple hundred bucks for them. And the whole concept of Freestream TV is that you buy this box, and it's one of these deals where you buy the box, and now you get basically any TV show, any movie, anything you want off of TV, you know, whether it's broadcast, whether it's cable, whether it's, you know, streaming services, you can get anything and everything through this box. You never have to pay another dime. You buy this box for 200 bucks, and then everything is taken care of for you. And immediately on looking at that, Jacob and I looked at each other and said, okay, that has to be illegal, right? Has to be. And yet, here they are, bold as you please, right in the center of the vendor hall at the fair, just selling it. Okay. So we looked it up, because it has to be illegal. And as it turns out, the Freestream TV box delivers exactly what it promises. If you buy their box for a couple hundred bucks or whatever it is, then you bring it home, hook it up, and now you get any TV, any movies, anything that you want, streamed directly through this box to your TV, and you never have to pay another dime for anything ever. And it turns out that buying this box, selling this box, is completely and totally legal. There is absolutely nothing illegal about them selling this box. However, if you do buy the box and then actually use it for its intended purpose, that's boldly illegal. I mean, not that they're prosecuting people, but it is just blatantly, flat out, completely illegal to use the Freestream box. Not illegal to buy it or sell it, but it's illegal to use it. And I'm like, God, that's just, there's gotta be the fact, the fact that they're selling it so boldly in the middle of this fair, and nowhere in it does it mention, because they're bragging that, you know, if you want Game of Thrones, you can get Game of Thrones on here. If you want, you know, if you want to be streaming anything that's on Netflix, it's all here too. You don't have to pay for Netflix. All right. So they're bragging about how you can get paid content without paying for it. And at no point do they mention that, oh yeah, if you do get paid content and you choose not to pay for it, it is illegal. Like, they never mention that. And I'm like, that's got to be, it's got to be fraud, right? It's got to be deceptive. They're not, I mean, I'm sure in the fine print, I'm sure if you buy this thing, somewhere in its manual, somewhere inside that box is going to be a little small print statement that says, oh yeah, by the way, if it's copyrighted material, it would be illegal. This is, it's like buying a bong, but the bong is being, you know, has the little, oh yeah, yeah, no, this is just for tobacco use. Honestly, this is not intended for illicit drugs. It's only for use with tobacco products. We promise. And so thus the free stream box. Yeah, it's only for free, content. You're not, yeah, obviously we wouldn't be using this to get Game of Thrones. No. We're only using this for, you know, public domain stuff and other free services. And yet, man, they're just allowed to just sell it like that. I'm stunned. It really should be illegal. I mean, whether or not you agree with the idea that this content should or shouldn't be, paid for, yeah, I mean, that, you know, you might be one of those people out there that's claiming that all information should be free and that we shouldn't, you know, if you can pirate it, then it's yours. Go ahead and take it. That might be your opinion. It's not mine, but it might be yours. But even then, the fact that it is illegal and they're selling this box without telling people that it's illegal, man, that is just weird. And I get why it's legal to buy and sell the box, because, I mean, honestly, it's just a box that does all your file sharing stuff for you. It looks for file sharing content and then gets you what you need. And it's kind of like a shortcut to get to all that. But you could install stuff on your home machine, or even onto your phone to do the exact same thing, without having to use the free stream box. But the box, I'm guessing, makes it more convenient. I have no idea. So who knows? But anyway, that was that. Let's see. Oh, all right. So I go walking through the living room the other day, and Noah is out in my living room watching SpongeBob SquarePants. He's 12. SpongeBob SquarePants is right in his ballpark. He has seen SpongeBob before, but he didn't come onto the scene until after the biggest portion of the SpongeBob heyday. So all of his brothers have seen every episode a million times. Noah has not seen them quite so much, and so he's thoroughly entertained, because a lot of these he doesn't remember seeing or doesn't know if he ever saw, and he's loving this. And so as I walk through, it is the episode where they have to paint Mr. Krabs's house, all right? Then there's another one I happen to walk through later, and he's watching the episode where SpongeBob and Patrick are selling chocolate. I walk through, and like every time I walk through, it's like one of my favorite episodes. It's like a classic episode. I'm just stunned that, oh my God. I asked, what is this, like a best of collection? And he says, no, this is just season 3. What? Really? Wow. Okay. So therefore, I just have to make the statement that I think SpongeBob season 3 may very well be the best season of SpongeBob ever. Oh my God, every single episode I watched, every one that was on when I passed through, every one of them was a classic. The one with the campfire song and warning Squidward about sea bears. That's season 3. It was crazy. I was having so much fun watching these. It was really good. So, anyway, there you go. I love SpongeBob. Ms. Marvel. Why do I have Ms. Marvel on here? Oh, I know why I have Ms. Marvel on here. I was looking ahead at the upcoming releases for Marvel movies, and they've named some of them, and then there's others that are unnamed, but it's pretty obvious what they're going to be. So, you know, coming up, they've got the Captain Marvel movie is coming up next year. The Avengers 4 is coming up next year. And so we think it's going to be Captain Marvel first, because we basically need to introduce her, because she is going to be pivotal, as we know from the end credits scene from Avengers 3. We know that Captain Marvel is going to be pivotal in resolving everything in Episode 4. And so therefore, we do Captain Marvel first, and then we do Avengers. And then it looks like Spider-Man Homecoming 2, Far From Home, is going to be in the mix. What's the next one? Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 is in there. Black Panther 2 is in there. So these are all things that we know are coming up, pretty sure. There's one unnamed movie that they suspect is the Black Widow movie, which I think they are getting ahead of themselves. We've been teased a Black Widow movie since before the first Avengers movie, and we're still not seeing it. So therefore, I don't know. I don't think Black Widow's coming around, but maybe. It might happen. But the other one that is coming out, probably in 2020, it looks like, is Ms. Marvel. Like, Feig confirmed this, like, in an interview, he let slip that, oh, yeah, Ms. Marvel is, you know. And so the idea that a Ms. Marvel movie is coming out in 2020 tickles me to no end, all right? Look, there's the cosmic tie-ins with her and Captain Marvel, and then she has, is she Inhuman blood? Is it, I can't remember. How else Ms. Marvel is connected. I've never actually read her comic, because she came around long after I stopped reading comics, but I know who Ms. Marvel is. And the idea that they're going to have a huge, you know, big budget blockbuster Marvel Cinematic Universe movie that is led by, and has her name on it, a teenage Muslim girl. Oh, that's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. Bold as crap, that is. Well, maybe not bold as crap, because, you know, it's taken us forever to get to it. But, yeah, you know what? I think so. And I am really looking forward to it. I just thought that was the coolest thing. So, there you go. Because, you know, every once in a while, I'll stumble across these little articles of, hey, everything coming up for Marvel, or everything coming up for DC, and they never tell me anything that surprises me. It's like, oh, yeah, I could have figured that was coming. But this time when they said that there's a Ms. Marvel movie in the works, I'm tickled. That's awesome. I am watching and I have no concept of segues. I am watching a YouTube video the other day from Smarter Every Day. And if you like science and you're not watching Smarter Every Day, upbeat science videos. They're just spectacular. Lots of fun. And the dude on there, who is a physicist, or engineer, or anyway, it doesn't matter. He's a smart science dude, and he does these really cool videos with his kids. And in this particular one, he is studying cat physics. And so he's dropping a cat to see how it lands on its feet. And so he holds the cat up, and he's got the cat upside down. He lets go. And every time it lands on its feet, it's perfectly fine. 6 foot drop, cat walks away, doesn't care. And then keeps coming back for more, in fact. And as he's doing it, we're watching this cat fall in slow motion. And, you know, with conservation of angular momentum, how does the cat wind up in free fall with no angular momentum to start with? How does it right itself, get its feet underneath it, and then maintain that position as it completes the rest of its fall? And it turns out that, you should watch the video. Go to Smarter Every Day and watch the cat dropping video. But the long and short of it is the cat brings its, it does it. As it's falling and it is upside down, it takes its back legs and sticks them straight out. All right, so that they wind up having, it's a lot harder to move them. And at the same time, it pulls its front legs in, and so it starts rotating its front end. Well, with the back legs out, they move a lot slower, so it can rotate its entire front portion of its body completely around while the back legs move just slightly in the opposite direction. And then it just reverses the process, front legs out, back legs in, and it rotates the back legs down so that they match, and it completes its fall. All right. That's not the, I mean, that was really super cool to watch, and you should watch it, but then this inspired me as I realized that as you watch the video, it does this without you, the cat doesn't even have time to think. This is just such an instinctive reaction that if a cat finds itself in free fall, it immediately, without having to think, without having to do any calculations whatsoever, no slide rule, nothing, its body just automatically, boom, and within a second, it's right side up and it's doing just fine. And hits the ground, and it walks away unharmed. And it, again, it is so instinctive. It has evolved that way so that it can take a fall from virtually any height without having to think about it, without getting hurt. And that's when I realized, oh, you know what? The reason it evolved that way is because cats must fall from crap all the time. I always picture, even though I have cats, I live with cats, and I know that they're not these graceful panthers that, you imagine cats being so graceful and that they make these powerful leaps and they do these cool acrobatics and they'll walk along, these narrow rails and make these bizarre leaps over to a rooftop or to a branch or whatever. And they do all this really cool stuff. And it looks like cats have got it all together, that they're just super smooth. But, I've watched my own cats and I've seen them occasionally make the leap and miss, and then they wind up slipping, or they wind up, and so part of that is evolution has allowed them to become such huge daredevils because, yeah, you know what? You're going to fall a lot. Guess what? We got you covered. It's like this automatic, that cats are such klutzes that this fall reaction is just completely instinctive and they don't even have to worry about it. That like this life-saving reaction is just completely bred into their genetics because cats are klutzes. All right, I don't know. Maybe I'm not conveying it, but to me, it was just this kind of moment of, yeah, evolution has accounted for how absolutely unbearably clumsy you are. That's pretty cool. All right. It didn't do anything for me, but all right, whatever. And then, all right, last of all, oh, I don't have my kids here. Darn it. You know what? I'm going to skip this one because it needs Aiden to be here to help defend it. It's getting, it's pushing it later than I want. But you know what? I have to wait. I have to wait for Aiden. Aiden, by the way, who has moved out of my house, and therefore, I don't know where he is. I mean, I know where his apartment is, but I don't know if he's there. I don't have to keep tabs on him. I don't know when he's coming around to record podcasts. We're going to have to work out some sort of schedule, I think. So anyway, remember, when Aiden comes back, you guys remind me to talk about Super Smash Bros. With him again, because we have a good conversation coming on that one. All right, then that's it. That's all I had for fingertips. That's all I have for the podcast today. It's going to be a short one. We're going to move into the Pod-O-Matic. Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2, that was him, in his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble. He rolls up random topics for me to talk about. Where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? You send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums. I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. The first number I got here is 71. And 71 comes from, I'm going to make a wild guess and say Phoebe. We haven't heard from her in a long time. Nope, Ronster. I was close. They look the same, I'm sure. Ronster says, how many VHS tapes do you have, including home movies? We probably own about 25 or 30 VHS tapes at this point. We've gotten rid of most of them over the years, but we do have a collection of kids' movies, mostly Disney movies, that for a long time we would take camping with us. We would bring along a little TV that has a built-in VHS player on it, what used to be known as a VCR, as it were. And we would play these Disney movies so that if we're in a place that has power, then we will plug in and we have Disney movies for the kids as they go to sleep. But for the most part, we don't even do that anymore because their kids are getting older and they've got their phones and they've got, you know, God, if they have power, then they can be doing all sorts of things. They can watch whatever movie they want. And it doesn't have to be limited to this ancient selection of Disney VHSs. I mean, there was Hercules was in there. I can't remember any of the others off the top of my head. Hercules, Lion King. Man, there was a few. But anyway. So we don't have a whole lot of use for them anymore. I think the camping TV is still down there somewhere in the basement. I just don't know where we would have put it. So other than that camping TV, we don't have any devices in the house that play VHS tapes. And so therefore, we don't have a whole lot of reason to save any of them. So there you go. All right. Forgot how this process works. Oh my gosh, double aught. Sweet. We go all the way down to number 100. 100 is from Kyle. Kyle says, which of your kids is geared to being a DM more than the others? Who will you eventually make the DM of a group you are a player in? I will not force any of them to DM anything because I enjoy DMing. However, of my kids, I honestly, Jacob is working on DMing a group of his own, that a bunch of people he knows online, and they put together characters. I don't know if they've played yet or not. I don't. But we had a whole bunch of discussions back and forth as I offered him some meager advice on what kind of things he might want to do as a starting game master, that kind of stuff. But Jacob is into it. Eli is also a game master type. Like, he already has had plenty of experience with, not formal role playing. Like, you know, dice and rules and all of this, but just creating the stories and guiding his friends through it and running a world where they get to be bit players in this world he's created. And then Noah's certainly capable of it, but, I don't know if it's going to be his bag or not. I think of all of them, I think Eli is most cut out to be a game master, but, all of them could certainly do it. They just, you know, like Aiden, I don't think Aiden necessarily wants to. But, you know, he could if he had to. But no, Eli would be the one. Again, I don't know if I'll ever play in one of their groups, but, you know, if the opportunity arises, I wouldn't say no. 84 is from Kyle again. And Kyle says, you were hired to pitch a new Smurfs series. Three of your original Smurf characters were rejected. What were they, and why were they rejected? Without stalling for time, the first Smurf, because the first Smurf I created that I thought I was appealing to the proper demographic, but Gamer Smurf. And Gamer Smurf was going to be, the intent was, he was just a video gamer who was into, first-person shooters mostly, but, you know, whatever video, it doesn't matter. He could have been into Pac-Man if he wanted something less violent. I understand that, and I was willing to play with the concept. And unfortunately, they said that since there's no such thing as video games in the Smurf community, you know, them lacking electricity and electronics in general, and so I said, well, okay, but what if they were video games that were powered by magic? And then it was this whole debate, okay, but who's he playing with then? Is what he's using magic to go online and game with, you know, kids in Pittsburgh? I don't get the, okay. All right, fine. So I got rid of that one. So then I said, well, okay, what if I just use Nerdy Smurf? All right. And then we go with tabletop games and we go with if you can believe it, they felt that was too close to Brainy Smurf, which is, to me, offensive, because, okay, first off, I mean, yes, I appreciate the positive stereotype that all nerds are smart, but we're not all smart. I mean, we think we are, but there's idiot nerds just like there's idiots everywhere in society, and that's not, it's not about a Smurf who is intelligent. It was a Smurf who is into different types of games. And now, I understand, yes, you can be nerds about lots of different things, but I was still trying to play off the game theme, and they absolutely were not hearing it. They felt like there was just too much overlap with Brainy, which I thought was bullshit, but whatever. Okay, so my last one was Steve, because which I thought about going with Ashley. I thought about making it a female Smurf, but instead I made it Steve. All right, I just happened to go with a guy because they've got this whole... Anyway, and so my whole concept behind Steve was that he is just, he's a Smurf who is not defined by a single trait that happens to also be in his name. He has other qualities. He is a fully developed person, or fully developed Smurf, if you will, who has a wide range of interests and is different things to different people, wears different masks for different days. He is a fully fleshed out character, and clearly that is also not what they were looking for. So, sadly, that's when they stopped asking me for ideas, and someone else was sitting in my office when I came in the next day. So, I can take a hint. 72 is from Mrs. Darks. Hi, Mrs. Darks. She says, I teach typing workshops, acting, not keyboard. Okay, typing. Got it. I teach acting workshops. Which character archetypes are your family members, in your opinion? Example, hero, everyman, femme fatale, girl next door, mentor, villain. What character type? Okay. I don't know about character archetypes. I'm just not that close to them. But let me put Jacob is a classic hero. In fact, more than a classic hero, he's what kind of character type is the paladin? What kind of character type is the guy who is always good, inherently good, because it's the right thing to do, and not because he's trying to get anything out of it, or because anyone's watching, but because he believes in doing the right thing because it's the right thing. That's Jacob. Aiden, while not his brother's opposite, but is more of an anti-hero. He is the guy who, is willing to play a little looser with the rules, but ultimately wants what's best for everybody. He's a good guy, but he's more of the chaotic good, whereas Jacob is way more of the lawful good. Again, I don't know the character archetypes necessarily, but that's where I would put them. And then Eli, I don't know if I can do this, because I just don't have enough knowledge here. Okay. I just went and looked up a whole list of 99 possible character archetypes, and I'm going to change Aiden. I'm going to leave Jacob as the hero. I'll change Aiden to the lovable rogue. I was going to go with bad boy, but he's not really bad, even though he might want you to think he is. I'm going to go with lovable rogue. Noah. Noah is going to be the nerd, which, look, he, any of us could qualify to be the nerd. Obviously, but Noah more than the rest, I think. So I'm going to put him in that role, the inheritor of the crown, as it were. And then, Eli, I'm going to make Eli the chosen one. Because he's sitting right there, but he can't hear me because he's got his earbuds in. But he's going to be my chosen one. He gets to be Neo. He gets to be, the ultimate. And then, what stereotypical character archetypes from stories, movies, TV, etc., are various people? So I made you the nerd.
any one of us could be the nerd.
That's what I said. And then me, obviously, I'm the Manic Pixie Dream Girl. So there you go. 95.
You're the pig for you is just slightly off, you know?
Apparently you don't know me very well. All right. Like, 90.
I don't totally know you.
95 is, oh, there it is. Oh, nope. Oh, so close. It's a lot harder than it looks, people, I swear. All right. This one comes from Ronster, and Ron says, have you ever gotten around to watching the single season TV show Forever? Nope. Not even a little bit. I don't even know what Forever is, but I will in just a second here. Because, as I discovered just a few seconds ago, I am apparently capable of using Google. There we go. Forever TV show. Let's see what this thing is. From 2014, an American fantasy crime drama television series that aired on ABC, as part of the something lineup. Oh, this isn't helping me at all. I need a plot synopsis here, people. There we go. An immortal New York City medical examiner who uses his extensive knowledge to assist the new... Okay, I remember this one now. I remember when it came out. Maybe I even mentioned it on the show. And no, I never did watch it, but I was fascinated by the idea that he's... I mean, look, I know that this was a time when, you know, we were deciding to spice up police procedurals, and it's, oh yeah, he solves crime. And he's a vampire. Oh, she solves crime. And she's, you know, I mean, it's the whole, I just ran out of examples there because I can't think fast enough. But this was one where, yeah, it solves crimes and, happens to be immortal. And I don't know if this is Highlander style immortal that just, he just keeps living and therefore he has to keep coming up with new lives and new identities for himself. Oh, that's what it was. She helps solve crimes and she's a zombie. That's iZombie. So anyway, Trepanwitz, I should have called it. So anyway, no, I never did watch the show, but I was always interested. Is it available somewhere? He asks, knowing that you can't hear me yet or answer me. But let's look. Hold on. I have to go to justwatch.com, and I search for Forever. Alright, it shows me that I can watch Forever on, okay, I don't even know what that is. What? I can't even see that icon. CW, okay, CW Seed. What the hell is CW Seed? It says I can buy the whole season somewhere else, but I can stream it for free on CW Seed. Is that, I mean, I assume that's the CW app for watching stuff, but do you have to pay for CW Seed to be able to see all of their shows? I don't understand. Probably not. I wouldn't bet you have to, because CW has so many of its shows that are available for free on other platforms. I can't imagine that they're making money off of this. So, huh. All right. Anyway, that was going far afield for no good reason. No, I've never seen Forever. Right now I'm in the middle of, the newest season of Orange is the New Black. I'm in the middle of Stan Against Evil, which, by the way, if you haven't watched Stan Against Evil, it is not a high recommend. It feels like, I'm not saying it is, but it feels like Stan Against Evil is, someone saw the success of Ash versus the Evil Dead and said, oh, you know what I could do? And when I say someone, I mean Dana Gould. Dana Gould is the guy who conceived of and wrote Stan Against Evil. And it's, all right, the premise here is John McGinley, who was the sarcastic mentor doctor from Scrubs, who I've always liked. I really like this dude as an actor. McGinley is just, he's awesome. He plays the retiring sheriff of Willard's Mill. Willard's Mill is a town that is known for 400 years ago burning 172 witches at the stake. And so thus now the town is cursed and all of their sheriffs get killed while in office, usually gruesomely. Except Stan. We don't know why Stan, well, we find out really quickly why, is that his wife was a witch hunter and was protecting him. And now she's gone, and he's retired, and now there's a new sheriff, and played by Janet Varney. And now they have to team up on a regular basis to defend the town against evil. Ta-da. All right. The premise is all right. The execution is a little weak at first. And so, you know, I'm not saying it's a high recommend, but I started watching it, and after the first episode, it's like, okay, it wasn't great, but yeah, I'll keep watching. You know, I just, it's again, easy when you're falling asleep, just plug in an episode and go. And so I just got through episode 8, which was the end of season 1. There's 2 seasons of it. I got through episode 8, and it turns out it's a time loop episode. You know how I love time loops. Oh my God. It was like, it's like, okay, this is what the promise of this show is. This is what I've been waiting for all this time. And so they ended on a cliffhanger, and now it's going to go into season 2, which I haven't even started yet. So I've got to watch that yet. And then, oh yeah, I'm also 2 episodes into the new Luke Cage, and there's another Iron Fist coming out soon, but I guess I'm not all that interested in getting the Iron Fist. But I still have to watch Luke Cage. There's so much TV. I can't imagine. Oh yeah, Jacob. Oh, I promised Jacob that I would finally watch the rest of Steven Universe. The problem is that I can't get Steven Universe without paying for it. So I'm going to have to pay for some Steven Universe. Because I told Jacob I would watch that. So my whole point is, as interesting as Forever is, as much as I really liked the premise, was it a good show? I'm not going to sit here and look up reviews for it. Because, you know, it's only 1 season. So is it worth my time? Should I try it? God, maybe I should. Anyway, I'll keep it at the back of my mind. There you go. Which means I probably will forget about it in a week, but yeah, I'll try. All right. This will be the last one. 61. And 61 comes from, let's see, someone we haven't heard from yet. Let's try that. Nope, it's from Kyle. Hey, Kyle. And Kyle says, we're not using the word wench anymore, right? That's like bitch, isn't it? Well, yeah. No, I agree. I'm not using the word wench. It's a derogatory term, and thus, not great. So, I mean, I guess if someone did use the word wench purely comedic, obviously comedic sense, I wouldn't care. As my wife is yelling from the other room, I just assume that they were a pirate. That doesn't make sense, right? I mean, it's not horrible. I don't think it's as bad as bitch, but it's not one that I'm using either. So, for whatever that's worth. All right, and then that's it. We're wrapped up. So now let me turn it over to GLaDOS, and she's going to give us a recap of this week's episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2018 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was Just Fingertips from They Might Be Giants. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. You check them out, you buy them, you enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, then subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use, and write me a nice review or a really shitty review as long as you give it 5 stars. Your words don't make a difference. But if you want to do something super nice for this podcast, recommend it to your friends. Come on, you're enjoying it. Spread the word. Let other people enjoy it as well. Word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Don't forget, this podcast is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network, which now includes me and Bicoastal Disorder. Awesome. Quality nerd podcasting from quality nerds. Remember, I am always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. Don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums on Facebook for listener betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me. Save me all of that grueling research. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is go sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up there, send me a message, we're going to hang out together, become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. I'm not going to do that. now it's time for listener betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, I go out to my forums and to Facebook. I post up, hey guys, I am recording anything that people post up. I will read off at the end of the podcast, which is what I'm doing right now. Turns out this is going to be super easy because it's the night before Labor Day. People have vacation plans, and they are not paying much attention to me. So therefore, there's nothing on my forums. Complete blank. So we'll go ahead and let that one go. And then we head over to Facebook where, oh, somebody's paying attention on Facebook. And it's Nelly. Sweet. Nelly says, oh, it's another visual. Nelly says, I am playing this game at PAX. And this game, I have no idea what it is, but it looks like a plastic base sitting on the table that looks like it's representing a cloud. And then coming up out of that is a whole series of interlocking ladders. Just ladders, just poked into holes in the base. And then the ladders are like connected to each other and laid across. And I assume we are building upwards with these ladders, but I have no idea what's going on. But it looks super cool. I've found I really like these building stacking games. I think they're a ton of fun. Oh man, I am quite jealous. I don't know what that is, but I am quite jealous. So, awesome. But that is really all she winds up saying. So that, I believe, is the very end of this podcast. So I appreciate you guys showing up. It has been really awesome. And love you guys. I will see you next week. It's been great.